Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands everywhere you are. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We ask, Lord, that you breathe upon this service, that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Be glorified and be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Welcome everyone here to this service this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I additionally bring you greetings from Abia State, from Aba, from Umahia, and from the University in Umudike. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly, before we bring you reports from the crusade, the subject is maximizing the blessing beyond tithes and giving, part 4. Beyond tithes and giving. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 9, we read that in the first service, he said, the last Sunday service actually, he said, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Our objective remains what we dealt with last Sunday, understanding what to do to maximize and multiply the blessing of God in our lives. What to do. Number 2, understanding what to do beyond fighting and giving. What to do. In the first service, I said there is a higher purpose of God. Beyond blessing our lives. And that is turning us into generational blessings. Let me make an addition to that. That God is not trying to do what will stay with and remain with us. What God wants to do with you is not what will stay or remain with you. God is trying to do what will flow beyond you. What will travel beyond you? What will live beyond you? If you ever think that God is about to bless you, and the blessing God is trying to give is what will remain with you or stay with you, is an error. God is trying to do what will flow beyond you, what will travel beyond you, and what will live beyond you. Secondly, we said that God is a God of principles and systems, and that the blessing of God follows the principles and the systems of God. We saw that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 2. The point is to violate his principles is to nullify his blessings. When we violate the principles of God, we nullify the blessings of God. When we ignore the systems of God, we forgo the blessings of God. I gave an example of this, of systems in the first service. But let me look at systems in the human body. There is the central nervous system, which is the brain and spinal cord and the nerves. There is the respiratory system, the lungs, and the breathing systems. There is the cardiovascular system, the heart, arteries, veins, and so forth. There is the gastrointestinal system, from the mouth to the anus and everything adjoined to it. There is the genitourinary system, genitals and urinary system. There is the musculoskeletal system, the muscles, and then the bones and the muscles and all that. Now, when a particular system in the body shuts down, it can lead to death. When a person is brain dead, there is nothing to do. The heart is 100%. The lung is 100%. Person is gone. When there is a respiratory system shut down, it doesn't matter what else is working. Person is gone. When there is a cardiovascular system shut down, the heart is faulty. The heart is gone. Life is gone. In the same manner, God works with systems. Giving, tithing is one of the systems. You are 100% with giving and zero with the other systems. Nothing works. That is where people say, I've been coming to church, I've been faithful, I've been in fact very, very dedicated and committed. But all the other things are not working. So we started looking at some of the principles and the systems that make the blessing to work from last Sunday. Please sit down. And we looked at five of them. So let's start. Number one, what do I do for the blessing of God to grow, to increase and explode in my life? Number one, we say possess vision and goals of excess or abundance. So you can look at this as the vision and goal system. That must be in place. What you cannot see, you cannot seize. God cannot give you what is beyond your view. What is not within your view is beyond your reach. So you possess vision and goals of excess and abundance. You are not trying to survive. Survival is not your objective. You want to be a blessing to your world. That vision must be there. Number two, be diligent. Be a hard work man or work woman. So you call it the work system. Acceptance of responsibility. No matter how much you pray and fast, if you are lazy, life will never be easy. Until you accept responsibility, you never see possibilities. So that system is there. Tithing, giving, offering does not neutralize this. Then number three, we looked at possessing integrity. Call it the character system. You can be a giver and be a fraudulent person and be a criminal almost at a place of work. And they gave you 100,000 to do a job. You did a job for 10,000. Shabby job. So you can pocket 90,000. God will never bless fraud. He will never bless that kind of a person. And then we went further and we looked at the maintenance of a reserve. We call it the reserve system. That is management system. And you are not just spending everything. And then we looked at number five, and that was the investment system. Be investment minded. We said that the purpose of money was not expenditure, that the purpose of money was investment. We looked at all of that last Sunday. So when people say, I have done this and done that, there are many, many things they are doing so wrong. So they are not where they should be. But I'm going to follow up today with another of the systems or the principles we have dealt with, and that is number six. And I'm going to look at the flip side of it. It says, avoid wasteful living. Avoid wasteful living. Now, what is waste?
All the things I'm going to say on this point and the next point are completely different from the points I raised in the first service. So I would like you to listen to the first service message. The only thing that is going to be common is what to do regarding borrowing and debt. Now, what is waste? Number one, waste means to use or expend resources in an unprofitable, unproductive, and reckless manner. It means to use or to expend resources in an unprofitable, unproductive, and reckless manner. Where you see the person is spending money that is not profiting, it is not coming back, and there is nothing he is doing that is bringing money back. Unprofitable, unproductive, in a reckless manner. That is called waste. Secondly, waste includes impulsive, obsessive, whimsical, or capricious purchases. When somebody is impulsive, when somebody, as if there is an obsession with spending, as if it's a fanciful thing to spend. Obsessive, compulsive, whimsical, capricious purchases. Another way to look at it is like trigger happy purchases. You see, where a criminal is trigger happy, he wants to pull the trigger at the shortest provocation to waste life. In this case, this person is trigger happy. And we see a lot of this in the young children of this generation. Except money does not hit the hand. As soon as money hits the hand, something must be bought. Something must be purchased. They must look for something. Some of the beloved daughters of God are like this. I've not bought the latest car. I've not bought the latest bag. I need the latest this. And most men are like that as well. Impulsive, as if there is a pressure to buy something. Waste. Thirdly, waste is the destruction of the worth or value of resources. The worth and the value of the resource is destroyed. It's waste. Waste. You know, in most languages, spending is called killing of money. In my language, to spend money means to kill the money. There are some languages, it's even worse. Waste the money. The man knows how to spend the money. Your own language, how is it? Fusiego, what does it mean? You to Fusiego. That's right. That is evil. Just throw it away. What does that mean? To waste money. Our own is very dangerous, to kill the money. Omije. It's slaughter money. It's wasting the money. Am I communicating at all? So we have, the wealth is destroyed. Now look at somebody who went to buy a car. Let's use that, those two examples. He went to buy a car because he wants a car to bring money. Another person wants to buy a car because he wants to show off that he himself has a car. If he needs the car, that's all right. That car is a business car, or even a reward for his labor. That is okay. But where somebody actually wants to show off, It is said that every time you pay for a car, the moment you drive it from the car lot, even by 500 meters, the worth has dropped. You don't take it back and see if you need your money back. They won't pay you the same money you paid. It has dropped in worth. Am I communicating at all? Those who are wise, they don't spend raw money. They use raw money to invest. They spend out of the profit that comes from their investments. I know of people who have businesses or investments that are used to pay children's school fees. They don't use raw money to pay the school fees. A money is fixed somewhere, an investment is somewhere, and that is what they use to pay the school fees. A businessman in this church, business in the South, he has plenty employees. When I went in that area to pray on his company, and he was telling me he just opened this new company. So what is this company for, this new one? The profit of this company is to pay everybody's salary. All the profit of this mega company, not a dime of it is used for overheads or to pay anybody's salary. It is bulk money coming plenty for reinvestment for explosion. I don't understand whether you understand me. Okay, let me give you an example. So he has this organization. He has this company. And this company employed maybe 1,000 staff. And then he makes a monthly turnover of about 500 million. And out of this 500 million, he needs to pay like 100 million or 50 million in salaries. All right? He said, instead of taking that 50 million from this 500 million, I will set up another company that can generate that 50 million that I will use to pay these people. And use the bulk of all the 500 million to do other things. To explode and expand. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is how wise people operate. They don't spend raw money. But the wasteful, and I said a funny story the other time. Said whoever, you don't spend mother money, you don't release mother money, you make mother money to give birth, you release daughter money for whatever it is needed. For example, somebody comes to marry from your house, it's not your wife he comes to marry. You don't marry out your wife. Wife gives birth to children. Children are married out to bring forth more children. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said that many, many years ago. So this is very, very critical. I believe there is somebody seated here today. Your level is changing. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudness, amen. Let us take note of the following concerning waste or the consequences of wastefulness. I can't remember how I put it in the last service. What do we learn, or what are the consequences of wastefulness or wasteful living? Number one. Wealth is in haste. Where waste abound. Money is in a hurry to go. Where waste abounds. Wealth is in haste. Where there is waste. That was what we saw from the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15 and in verse 13, all the way to verse 15. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. into a far country. And there, wasted. Or maybe it's the, we are continuing. Wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine. When a person is a waster, his resources live in a hurry. Secondly, or fourthly, or fifthly. All right, that's right. Wealth is in haste where there is waste. Fifthly, if the fragments can be gathered, the increase can be experienced. If the fragments can be gathered, increase will be experienced. Say it another way. In what is wasting, there is wealth. Wealth is hid inside the waste. Aya. Wealth is hid inside waste. How do I know? Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as the wool. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the waste that remained, let nothing be lost. Verse 13. And when they did that, when they gathered them together, they filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves. I don't know whether you understand what we are talking about. In what is wasting, there is wealth. Wealth is hid in waste. How can you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Fragments on the ground that you can trample and walk away, that you thought was nothing. He said, gather together. There was no way they could have known that the potential of the fragments was 12 baskets. They ended with something far bigger than where they started. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. 12 baskets that were inside fragments. They were weary on the ground. Gather them together. It is a principle. Maybe all those extra things you have around you that are not useful, maybe if you sell them and invest them, you will be shocked at the returns. Inside the waste, there is wealth. There is riches hid inside rubbish. I came across a young lady in Nigeria who is taking old worn-out tires and using them to manufacture seats, tables. Pick it from the road at no cost and use it to make money. Inside the waste, there is wealth.
I heard some time ago that
the rotten tomato that they were pushing away sometime, that somebody discovered somewhere in Far East Asia, whether it's Japan or somewhere, where the puree of it, that sour taste, they want it. And the person was gathering them from those who are throwing it away at no cost and releasing them. There is always wealth in waste.
The garbage dump here and all the things here are
fossilable fuels that some countries are developing and generating, turning into fuel. I'm sure you have heard of biofuel from using the lavatory and take it up and just generate light. Apart from turning it into manure. Oh, there is so much that is wasting around our lives that we are not aware. Beginning from your own immediate life. Maybe all the various bank accounts that you have. Tiny money here, tiny money there, tiny money. Maybe when you pull them together, it might be substantially little that you can invest and it will explode.
One day, I don't know what need was, whether it was the construction of the church, I can't remember. But little I can say, pull here.
When it came together, oh wow. So these were all hanging here and there. It's a new day for you. And God does not bless wasters. When he sees your footsteps as a waster, he will minimize his releases into your life. He will minimize it. God is not. That was why Jesus said, gather the fragments. He does not bless wasters. He will never bless waste.
When he sees your footsteps and your moves and your vibes, like the young people of this generation say, when he sees your vibes and it is the vibes of a waster,
say, just be careful with the blessing of this person. In what is wasting, there is wealth that is hid in waste. And number next, the elimination of waste is the doorway to desirable treasure. Desirable. Eliminate waste to the barest minimum. Proverbs 21:20, there is treasure to be desired. And oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spends all of it. There is treasure to be desired in the dwelling of the wise. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout amen at the top of your voice. Shout a louder believer's amen.
Shout a believer's amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
There are things you don't need for today. If you want to get what you don't need today, it is considered waste. There was a time somebody brought shoe to me, 20 something, maybe 30 years ago. Then 1,000 was 1,000. The shoe was costing 7,000. Of that time. Said this shoe is 7,000 bite. I said, should I buy 7,000 shoe? Does the shoe have tires? If I wear it, I don't need to walk again. I can't spend 7,000. At that time, I have not given God 7,000 at once in an offering. How can I use such an amount to buy something for myself? That same week, I spent 50,000. On God and his work. And on my spiritual investment, spiritually, books, Bibles, materials, resources, that will explode my life. I couldn't use it to buy shoe, but I use it for spiritual investment. We'll be talking later that knowledge is an investment. Maybe next week. Whatever enhances your worth is an investment into your life and destiny. That is why a chartered accountant is at a higher level than a BNC accountant in worth, in marketability. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? So this is critical. Treasure to be desired. Treasure to be desired is inside. Where waste is eliminated. I prophesy to somebody here today. It's a new day for you. And I declare every trace of waste eliminated right now. Say a louder amen. Let us go to this point and we end there. Number 7, avoid borrowing, indebtedness. Deuteronomy 15 and in verse 6, he said, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow." Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. "The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain in your land in its season, and bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Proverbs 22 verse 7. He said, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Borrower, servant to the lender. Romans 13 verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Don't owe. The only debt you owe is the debt of love. One translation says the only debt you can owe is the perpetual debt of love. What is borrowing? I'm going to give diverse definitions of borrowing and then the consequences. And this is it. Borrowing is the act. You know it, but let me put it in the way that it will spark, that will just make you understand something. Borrowing is the act of spending money that is not yet in your hands. Money that is not yours. Money that is not yet in your hands. By obtaining a loan temporarily from a lender, it is the act of spending money that is not yours. Money that is not yet in your hands. The money hasn't come, but you have spent it. By obtaining a loan temporarily from a lender. 4 times, "Thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt not borrow." The borrower is the servant of the lender. What next do we know about borrowing? And this will show us the consequences of borrowing. That is second. Borrowing is proof of lack of confidence and faith in the supply capacity of God. Many will be angry with what I'm saying right now, but at the end, you will understand. Borrowing is proof of lack of confidence and faith in the supply capacity of God. Did not Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 say, "But my God shall supply all your need," not some, "all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is proof of lack of confidence and faith in the supply capacity of God. Thirdly, borrowing is proof of lack of financial discipline wisdom and management. Proof of lack of financial discipline, wisdom and management. It's definitely a life of indiscipline to be looking for what is not yours, to be trying to have what is not your level. Psalm 84, verse 11, he said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." If the good thing is not yet in your hand, it is not good for the time. Indiscipline will make me drive a car I can't afford. Indiscipline will make me borrow to own a phone I cannot afford. Indiscipline will make me try to look for money to have a business that is bigger than my reality. Indiscipline will like to will indiscipline. Lack of wisdom and lack of management will make me try to live a life that is not real. Somebody said that this world is so funny that people borrow money they don't have. Some of them are people that they like, but some are people they want to impress. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is how life is. They put their lives under pressure. Their outgo is bigger than their income. So their upkeep becomes their downfall. Did you hear what I say? Outgo. What they want to release is bigger than what is coming to them. So the upkeep of their life becomes their downfall. Is there anybody that is angry? The Bible says the church is the ground and pillar of truth. Next, borrowing. What number was that? The last one was proof of lack of discipline. Was that really number three? One, two, three. Okay, four. Borrowing puts life under the perpetual situation of lack and scarcity. The borrower is in perpetual lack and scarcity. It is a status. It's a lack status. It's a scarcity status. No matter how much he has in the bank, he is in lack for as long as he is indebted. Know what I say? The borrower is servant to the lender. And let me give you a graphic picture. I'm sure you have heard of this kind of story, where somebody borrowed money from this place, whether it's a bank or a person or an institution or a lending app. Then the pressure from this person on him is so much that he went here and borrowed to pay this. And then the pressure from this person becomes so much, he went here to borrow and pay this. Somebody told me, said, I am owing about six different You see, lending apps, things different. You say, I borrow from here to pay this. I borrow from here to pay this. I borrow from there. Oh, Lord. It will never be your portion, no.
Every taste and every appetite for borrowing, I declare it broken right now. In the name of Jesus. It puts life under the perpetual pressure of lack.
Number five. Borrowing strips life of honor and dignity. It strips your life of honor and dignity. Because like we know, the borrower is the servant of the lender. Honor, dignity. In the eyes of your lender, you are worth nothing. People who shouldn't ordinarily talk to you are harassing the hell out of your life with all manner of unprintable insult. I got a notification on my phone, and the notification was addressing somebody. He said, whoever knows so and so person is a family of fraudulent criminals. They are thieves. We are soon about to publish their name online to show that they are criminals. Don't deal with them. It's a perpetual borrower on the run. Hey. When I saw that guy, and this is a dignified person to my notice. Respectable, respectful. So I called the person on the spot. I need to see you now. And she came. Christian girl, Christian, that's when you say believer, that is no, but I mean no compromise. I said, what is this? Say, I'm sorry, sir. I borrowed to meet certain family pressure. And does it justify this kind of name they are calling you? Say, I'm so sorry. How much? Is it 200,000 or 300,000? For that purpose, they are abusing the hell out of you, your father, everybody. I said, but how did they send a message to me? So, no, that was those some of those apps have is it PIN or whatever they have. So they access everybody on your contact. So they release this terrible message to anybody who is on your contact. 200,000, 300,000. Take the money now. Before 12 noon, pay it. So you rescue yourself. Well, in case you start coming and saying, me, I'm owing it to my own, is 1 million. Don't waste your time. Because the next thing is, okay, it is possible to pay people's debt. For where? This one was a particular case. Dedicated, committed servant, serving the Lord. That was the person. Because sometimes we are careful to say things like this, because before you know it, there's a rush. Am I communicating at all? Don't lose your people that are younger. So a 60-year-old man borrowed money from a 25-year-old boy. Say, hey, I am here for the money. I'm here for the money. At your age, you are still owing people. He keeps quiet. He can't say one word. He can't say one word. He's guilty as charged. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. Lift up your hand and say, I will never lose my dignity. I cannot lose my dignity because of indebtedness. I can't lose my dignity. I'm finally, for this point, borrowing affects the quality. Borrowing indebtedness affects the quality and possibly the durability of life. Life quality drops, and even there are people who have died before their time because of debt. In 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1, they came to take the children of the Shunammite woman to pick those children as collaterals for money they were owed. Slavery, quality of life. How many people have taken their own lives for debt? I'm going to read out some things to you. How many people took their own lives? How many people, they pressure, knock, knock, knock on the door. He knew the creditor coming. How many people, bank put them under pressure till they died, and they inherited their thing? As a matter of fact, it looks like there are some banks whose main interest is to take over your business. It's a collateral. Take it over. It will never be your portion. It will never be your portion. What is the way out? The same things I said in the first service. Number one, be determined to not borrow under any condition. Place it on the screen. I said it in the first service. What's the way out of borrowing and indebtedness? Thou shall lend, thou shall not borrow. Under no condition. Deuteronomy 28:12. Even if I have to do the work of a laborer, that is your determination. I am not going to take a dime. Number two, be a practitioner of the covenant of supernatural supplies. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter shall not cease. The covenant of supernatural supplies. The covenant. Number three, be a diligent and determined work person. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He said, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor. Be determined. Be a determined work person. Determined. I will do as much work as is necessary. Number four, be patient with God. Accept your status per time. Be patient. Grow gradually. Grow gradually. Grow gradually. Grow gradually. Don't attempt to have what you can't afford. Don't attempt it. Grow gradually. Grow gradually. Ecclesiastes 3 and in verse 1 said, there is a time to everything under heaven. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, be not weary in well doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Be patient with God. Where God's servant Bishop Oyedepo is now, some people want to be there overnight. There is process to life. Where God is helping us to be, this small place we are by God's mercy, it was not an overnight climb. Hallelujah. Be patient. Accept your status. Grow gradually. Say, he that maketh haste to be rich cannot be innocent. Five, don't compare yourself with people, with others. Don't fall for the pressure to belong. And don't fall for the pressure of being left behind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. Sorry, verse 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. When we came into this town newly, our first child came with us. All the others are born while we're in the ministry. That one came with us from Jos. When it was time to put her in school, can we go and search for schools, possibility of where she can be, at least nursery school and primary? And they brought the bill, four bills. This one is the best school in town. This is the price. This is the next, second, third, fourth, the list. And I looked, and when I saw the bill, I said, what will determine the school the child will go is not the is not which one is the best or not. It's the one we have the money for. It's the one we have the money of. The one we have the money of. And I am paying the money from my pocket. It's not church money, because it's not church baby. It's not a church project. So I said, it's obvious. One, two, three. The last school. It's number four. That is the one we have. That is the one. And I'm a medical doctor by training. My wife is like, we believe in quality and sharp education. The school was so wonderful that when the child returns from school, we'll be correcting the English at home. There's English he learned from school, we will be correcting it at home. But today, the same child, some people used to call her encyclopedia now. She will say some things, our siblings will look at the dictionary. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So you don't put yourself under any pressure. Maybe at that time we could have looked for money to borrow, or let me borrow from church and return. Or look for somebody and borrow from. Or my friend, his own child is in American school. Or in British. Did I go American school? I went local school. Well, maybe not too local, but it was in our locality. It was in our locality. Otupo in Benue State. Primary school, secondary school. No nursery school. Because let me not tell the story of the nursery school. That time it was hand like this to see if it can reach the ear before you can be. I will not tell you the story of the nursery school so that we don't talk later. But I remember that I came to the roadside and it was time to, not nursery school, primary school. But we went to the local school with slate. Slate. 1+1, 2. 2+2, 4. With that slate, that is where we are today by His grace. Well, I thought it was our own time. Nowhere we cannot go now today in the world, anywhere. And if it is necessary to buy any school anywhere, it is necessary. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you don't put your life and your children or anybody under pressure today. Don't compare yourself with anybody. That was point number one. Don't compare yourself. Number six, give it to me on the screen. Be content. Be content. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Look at what it said. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with such things as you have. Be okay. Calm down. Hurry slowly. Why? gradual by gradual. The antelope entered the ark of Noah. The tortoise entered too. The snail entered. But when the antelope ran, he read the ark, he will wait for tortoise to arrive. Ark cannot move. There was a time where the airport in Nigeria was only in Lagos. If you are going to London or going to America, that's international airport. Kano later. Everybody, if you are coming from Yola, you go to Murtala Mohammed Airport. You are coming from Makurdi. You are coming from Port Harcourt. The first person to reach the airport is not the first to leave. All of you must wait for the plane. And wherever you are coming from, everybody arrives, everybody checks in, and everybody takes off. It doesn't matter who is appearing in front of you now. It does not mean they are in front forever. And it doesn't mean you are back, you are at the back forever. So you don't struggle to kill yourself because somebody seemed to be there. Take your seat as I round off with number 7. Contentment is the cure for covetousness. Be content. It's cure. And finally, always find cost-effective alternatives to what you want to accomplish by time. Cost-effective. Something may be cheaper, but it may produce a result that is close enough to what you are looking for now. The Bible says, all things are possible to him that believeth. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, you needed 100 million to buy something. Instead of borrowing it, you found an alternative of 10 million, 25 million that can serve. $30 million, and you have that one. Let me start from here. If you have all the money, at times to get quality things can also be a cost-saving measure. But once you don't have the money, other than instead of putting your life under pressure, I can tell you from experience that you can buy a marble and such things, and this one is 1,000 per square meter. This one is 300 per square meter. This is 200 per square meter. You plant it on the ground, or except somebody told you, you won't know the difference. Am I communicating? There are other things like that. There are manufacturers of vehicles now that if they place this Jeep and this Jeep side by side, you will never be able to tell that this is not this. Meanwhile, this one is 1.5 billion. This is about 150 million. Am I communicating? Calm down. Look at the neighbor and say, calm down. Life is in phases. Tell somebody, say, life is in phases. Men are in sizes. Accept your status per time. You may not be there yet, but you are coming. Some people say maybe the message you are preaching is for small people, young people, lower people, billionaires, big time businessmen. They must borrow. Really? I gave the story of a man in the first service, committed person in church, who vowed as the head of the covenant practices, giving to God, not squandering and not borrowing, he vowed never to borrow. He brought a contract paper to me some time back, 120 something billion. And he started the project without a dime of mobilization. Am I communicating? He's not directly within this commission, but he subscribes to the mantle here. He said,
no matter the size of the contract, he has enough money of his own to start. That is when people stand ruggedly on God. Now, I wanted to read out two things. The experiences of two people. Let me start with the second one. The second one. We read the first one in the first service. Let me start with the second one, and after that you bring up the first one. It says, beware of the death trap. This person is speaking from experience. He said, brethren, good morning. Today I would like to preach about a very sensitive topic in Nigeria, namely the debt trap. The debt trap can be twofold, namely governments that take loans and fall into the traps of their lenders, and individuals or businesses that take loans and are at the mercy of their lenders. Let me focus more on the second one, namely individuals and businesses, as this concerns Christians directly in Nigeria and worldwide. It takes the wisdom and grace of God to be able to deal with lenders and avoid the debt trap. The Bible generally advises against borrowing money, presenting it as a burden that creates a form of slavery to the lender. We read that already. While not explicitly labeled as a sin, that you cannot call debt a sin, yet debt is viewed negatively, suggesting that believers should avoid it. Seek financial independence, prioritize repaying debts. Let me explain this in layman's terms for all of us to understand this topic in depth. For instance, you own a business in Nigeria and you borrow 1 billion from a Nigerian financial institution. This person is talking like that because that's his realm. Let's say it is a 10-year facility. First are the nominal interest rates. But when you add up all fees, you may be paying the bank as much as 30% per annum. Compounded over 10 years, that is 300%. Again, in layman terms, you borrowed 1 billion, but after 10 years, you end up owing the bank the 1 billion plus another 3 billion in interest and all fees. Hence, you end up owing the bank 4 billion. One of the richest Nigerians some years ago told his own story to Forbes Africa about how he nearly committed suicide. When the markets moved against him, his debt ballooned and the banks hounded him. It took the grace of God to keep him alive, and divine favor finally rescued him from that ordeal. The story is there for all Christians to learn from it and be very careful of falling into a debt trap. Christian brothers and sisters, pray earnestly and avoid borrowing from any financial institution, as it is the only grace, as it is only the grace of God that can make a repayment possible and avoid future issues with lenders. Sometimes it is better to have less without debts than to seek owing more via debts, but then be trapped by your lenders. That money is not free. Apart from the collateral and the principal, it is the interest which compounds, which most people don't see when they are given the facilities. They won't tell you. Brothers and sisters, this debt trap issue affects the high and mighty in Nigeria, but also the normal and the low. Once you take that loan, that facility, you are at the mercy of your lenders. It affects businesses, affects jobs, affects families, even affects people's faith as they start going through turbulent times. And there is another part to raising capital, namely private equity or crowdfunding. But you must ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom to interrogate the integrity and character of the counterparties properly before taking this alternative path, as many Nigerian businesses have suffered under unclear equity partnerships, when one of the partners have integrity and the other lacks integrity. You know, this person is talking from what he knows. The other one is about borrowers who think that loans are gifts or grants and are not to be paid back. There was a rice scheme in Nigeria not too long to enable rice farmers access money to boost local rice production. Unfortunately, many farmers misunderstood the loan to be a grant, and the rate of bad loans of this scheme here became very high. Let me end this by in asking us, you all, to trust more in God as your provider. Ask God for wisdom, his favor, and guidance in worldly financial matters. If you pray earnestly to God, the Holy Spirit will guide you all to prosper and navigate through financial issues in Jesus' mighty name. Isn't that a very, very powerful education? Now, this is the story that I know. Now, let me tell you a story I know personally. Because God has given us the privilege to
See different people, interact with people at every level, from the lowest to the highest. This is from the mouth of a man who owned, now I'm telling you a story now, $1 billion in cash, liquid. Not that asset, you sell this, you get the money. $1 billion. And took loan to expand and move to another level, worth $2 billion. That loan grew until not only the $1 billion was gone, there is an additional $2 billion to be paid. So you are now owing $3 billion without owning the first $1 billion. How many of you know that there are billionaires who committed suicide and nobody knew why they died? Now let's read the second one. That is practical here. Freedom from indebtedness. He says, sir, it's here. I want to thank you for the privilege to share this. Life was very peaceful. I had thriving businesses. And my relationship with God was solid. I did the things my spirit man yearned for. Reached out to souls and the welfare of believers and non-believers alike. Had outreaches and was kingdom minded. Then I met a good friend who was a blessing to me. He gave me a seemingly harmless counsel to take bank loans and scale up my operations. It looked too good to be true and I jumped in. Initially, all felt well. Yes, I scaled up. Huge projects took off. Things looked very promising until the pressure started to pile up. The pressure was such that my peace disappeared. Bankers who were once cautious suddenly became tigers. That nice bank manager, nice bank managing director, or ED, who was saying, you know what, you don't need to struggle with your business the way you are doing. We can help you scale things up, give you a facility and structure it very well for you. You won't need to bother so much. That same man, if you hear his voice on the phone, call the next time. He said they became tigers. A whole month felt like a few days. That is, no matter how much you made in a month, he appeared like nothing. Fellowship with God took a big hit. All I thought about was how to meet up with my loan obligations. Yes, on the face of it, I achieved what I wanted to achieve. At the expense of peace was long gone. Towards the middle of the year 2024, I had a divine encounter by God's mercy. When I fell upon Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. My heart sank when I discovered the implication of my situation at the time. The Lord dropped a prayer in my heart, and I ran to the altar, cried earnestly for deliverance from indebtedness and all forms of servitude. I was led to seek an urgent appointment with you, sir. He sought an appointment. You laid hands on me and made instant declarations, and I left. That same week of encounter with you, sir, sudden doors of opportunities opened sporadically. Calls came in. Resources followed, sir. I had to be disciplined and determined. What the other person said, to systematically liquidate all loans. By the last quarter of 2024, I had liquidated all facilities with the said financial institution. Sometime in November 2024, I was led to forensically audit the accounts attached to the bank facilities. And to my great shock, I had been debited with illegal bank charges on the interest to the tune of 1.8 billion naira. This is not the interest. This is not the compound interest. Charges that are illegal inside. Sir, because of my erstwhile indebtedness to the bank, I could not negotiate the outrageous interest rate. I didn't even know they were now stealing from me. I had to instruct my lawyers to write the bank and approach the CBN for redress. Sir, I cannot thank God enough for this great deliverance. I am not sure many people will be fortunate to survive the ordeal I went through there. I've got my sanity and my peace back. My fellowship
and my dedication to God is fully restored. My heart is now at home in God's presence. Sir, I now counsel young people especially to avoid loans and bank facilities by every means necessary. If they need capital, they should seek investors and be ready to part with some equity. Again, we have been told there are some who don't have integrity. So you actually need to know. You see, it is better to own 10% of a thriving business than to own nothing and even lose one's previous assets. This person who told the story, I could go further about this situation. But to avoid what we just talked about, I will stop here. But is there at the point where real pressure that looks like almost like a vessel will burst in the brain. You see somebody wake up suddenly with stroke. Hallelujah. If there are things to sell to raise cash, a bank owner who started a bank not too long, maybe like a few years back, again, I won't go into detail because if I say more, some may know. We were talking some time, I think it was in my office. And I said, so how did you succeed? There was no private offer. There was nothing like anything like that. You didn't look for people to give you money. He said, oh no, that God helped me. They had some assets on ground. So they sold them massively, massively, massively. And as those were sold, they were able to raise the capitalization requirement of CBN to start their bank. So they own the bank 100%. They can decide to start selling later. But they are not doing, their mind is cool. That is what the Shunammite woman, I mean the widow of Zarephath, did. The bottle of oil in her house was what she used to handle the debt of her children and to live. Stand up on your feet. Can I ask you a question? If somebody is looking for what you have and not trying to help you become who you should be, will he suffer himself like this to go through this detail and tell you this kind of details? They will leave you to go to London Business School or Harvard or anywhere to go and understand things like this. Just bring your tithes and offering and go and figure out the rest. That's the normal thing. I mean, but this, Paul the Apostle said, I don't seek yours, I seek you. I'm not looking for what you have. I am trusting you for. See, somebody gave me a seed many, many, many years ago. And his business nosedived. It was a beautiful car. That car at that time maybe worth up to 15 million. Or then, maybe 10, 20 years ago. Beautiful, I think S-Class or something. What? That kind of car. And he had challenges. I said, you know what? I want you to come. This thing you gave me, God has received it. You hear? I give it back to you. If you need to sell it to raise money, whatever you need to do with it, go ahead and do. She looked at me and said, sir, I've already given it. I said, I am the one giving back. God received Isaac and returned Isaac back to Abraham. I was genuinely concerned. And he went back. He received it and went back. That was not, he didn't ask for it. He went back. I prayed for him. The next time, I asked him, I said, how are you doing? He said, God has helped me. I am back on my feet. I just got a job of $2 billion to supply, I think, vehicles or something. And done. I'm back. He said, I'm back. I didn't ask him, where is the car back? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is genuine enhancement of people's welfare.
In the name of Jesus, you will not be stranded. In the name of Jesus, you will not be stranded.
In the name of Jesus, your story is changing. Can somebody lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise for what you have received today? Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. El Shaddai, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus.
If we prayed any prayer in the first service, can you place it quickly on the screen? Lift your voice. No, not this one. The prayer after the message.
All right, lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to apply your word, to follow your systems for the blessing. Give me the grace not to fail, Lord. Give me the grace not to falter. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, lift your voice and pray. Mashakele ya bada 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 bada. Mashakele bada 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 bada. Lift your voice and give him the praise. Give him the honor. I receive the grace to apply your word, to follow your system for the blessing. Give me the grace not to fail, not to falter. I receive it, Lord.
Jesus' precious name. Amen. You have not given your life to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to be a new day in your life. I'd like you to stand up on your feet and quickly come to this altar. I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I'll give you the count of 20. Whether you are in the central church, on the gallery, anywhere you are, at the count of 20, rush forward quickly. One. Two.
I'm a brand new man.
Oh, quickly come forward.
Three.
Can we all stand up on our feet in the attitude of receiving something today? Everybody, everybody.
I'm a brand new man. I'm a new
two. Three. Four.
I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I'm born again.
How many of you want God to make you a blessing to your generation? And to break from your life any need to borrow. Any need. Lift up your two hands. While I pray this prayer for us, anywhere you are still, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You have come out like this before, but you're not living upright. Quickly come forward here. Also, you want addictions broken from your life. Smoking addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography addiction, masturbation addiction, Indian hemp addiction, lying, cheating, fraud. Quickly come forward here. Father, we give you the praise. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now lift your hands, everyone, and receive the hand of the Lord. I'd like you to be desperate. It's meant to be a service of the Spirit of God. But because of time and all that we needed to do, we couldn't go much. But lift your hands.